This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Actually, Big Voice Man, it's kind of a pre-action Monday as we're getting ready for Monday Night Football up in AT&T Stadium in Arlington, where your Houston Texans will take on the woeful, the lowly Dallas Cowboys, and an opportunity to get their seventh win on the season and, more importantly, narrow the lifetime series between these franchises to 4-3. It's currently 4-2 in favor of the Cowboys. So come on, Texans, go get a victory. But it is a reaction Monday in this way. It was a good weekend, really good weekend of sports. And I just realized in talking about the best of the weekend, we're not even going to get into college football. We might touch on basketball because the Rockets had a fantastic weekend. But it feels like the big things to hit, a lot of yesterday big-time AFC matchups that seemingly have an impact on these Houston Texans and what they might face when they inevitably win the AFC South and then have to face off against teams in the playoffs. Which of these big games caught your attention the most out of the Bills, Chiefs, Steelers, Ravens, and Chargers, Bengals on Sunday night?
Yeah, it had to be Bills and Chiefs. But in a weird way, too, because, you know, I said it last week, you know, I thought the Chiefs were going to win because that's what they do. They beat the Bills.
They could not keep getting away with it.
And crush their souls. But the Bills in the regular season, you know, might have their number occasionally or do have their number occasionally. Terrific game. Did it sway you in any way? Did it change your view if these teams face each other again in the postseason?
Yes.
It did?
It kind of did for me, too. Yeah. I felt like Kansas City, they're not dominating anybody. They haven't dominated nobody all season, I want to say. Maybe one team, but I feel like they can get got.
Absolutely. That's always felt like it's the thing. The Bills, like this is not the Bills that we saw when they faced off against the Texans here in NRG Stadium. That's the thing that feels like is the difference here. You're right. The Chiefs, particularly their defense, is still very good, and you saw some of the instances they turned the Bills over four times. But the Bills also finding that defense, and then the easy low hanging fruit is that Josh Allen playing MVP type football with more of those toys that he typically utilized. Like Khalil Shakir did not play in that game, and now even more so, I'm very thankful that he did not play against the Texans, because it looks like the ability to get a lot of ring a lot out of this offense. Josh Allen, especially with his legs, which is something that we knew, but Khalil Shakir getting 70 yards, Curtis Samuel or getting a touchdown on and being able to get the ball out to him in space, and then Amari Cooper, the addition that they had, only a couple of catches, but big time catches at that. Like that team looks to be a lot more dangerous. It looks like they've done a little bit of growing up and coming up to the Chiefs level, and while the Chiefs have maybe taken a step back in being as consistent as they have been in the past, or maybe just as fortunate as they seem like they've been in the past.
And it was a big game in terms of playoffs for home field. You know, that was huge because the Chiefs, they probably figure to lose again at least once more. I mean, they do come to Houston, or they do face the Texans.
That's correct.
And so
I like what you're doing right now.
So if they lose and end up tied with Buffalo, Buffalo will be at home again.
That's it.
In the postseason.
You say that for those two teams. Mm-hmm. However, how do you view this for the Texans? Like, watching those two teams, I was like, oh, okay, that's a level of danger. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did that make you feel like the Texans would have a little bit better of a shot against the Chiefs? Because I saw the Bills and I was like, oh, I don't want to. I'm not going to be super happy about having to see that team again if that inevitably comes.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to face the Bills again. Obviously, especially in Buffalo. But I think the Chiefs, you know, as Figgy said, they can be had, and especially by a team like the Texans that play really, really good defense against. You know, Travis Kelce was kind of a nowhere man. You know, they had some. Now Pacheco's coming back. So that could be an issue, but they're offensively, they're not quite the team that we've seen in the past. That said, it is Patrick Mahomes, but I would like the Texans' chances defensively in a lower scoring game here.
All right, so that was a big game on the weekend, but that was also a little bit that was in that late afternoon slate before that one. The precursor to that one was an AFC game in the AFC North for the lead in that division that the Steelers ultimately came out on top of in what was an 18-16 victory that looked kind of sloppy. It did not look the same way.
A lot of field goals.
All field goals, man.
Oops, all field goals by Chris Boswell.
I seen that score. I'm like, oh, let me see what Russ did.
Yeah.
Oh, he ain't do a damn thing. Well, he didn't throw a damn touchdown, man.
But he didn't throw a touchdown, but it did feel like Russ really handled, like he worked that game incredibly well. Like, I think that there was a level of a testament to his ability to be a veteran that, again, points back to Tomlin's wisdom in going with that dude as quarterback. Because I think that, and I'll need to get this stat right, like he was fantastic at the passes over the middle, or at, not over the middle, the passes short, like within 10 yards. And that seems like it's such a small thing. But in this day and age in the NFL, like making the smart decisions that are underneath the offense or underneath the defense rather, and consistently getting it to where you need to and being able to move the sticks. Yeah. That is no small feat.
Hey, we talk about the Ravens though, man. They beat the Ravens that kind of scare a lot of people.
They shut them down.
Yeah. They beat them all field goals.
And Justin Tucker, Jim Harbaugh flat out said he needs to make more field goals.
Well,
he needs to make those.
Thank you. Thank you. That is absolutely what some of the things that you have to come up with.
Yeah.
12 penalties, 2 missed field goals, 3 turnovers for the Ravens. Why are they
but
so sloppy?
But you
got to
credit the Steelers.
Moments? Yes. Yes, you do. That
you got to credit the Steelers.
That defense defense was a problem. Yeah. Right? It is a problem. Like that. As much as we want to talk about Russ or Pickens or whatever else.
The team is coached really good.
Yeah.
Man.
Not a lot of mistakes from that team, a lot of defense, and a lot of, like, I mean, those 3 turnovers, I think 2 of them were just kind of, hey, man, what are you supposed to do? Like,
yeah,
the ball
exactly.
just kind of popped out because the Steelers are very fortuitous in the way that they handle it. Second time this season, mind you, that the Steelers went and got all their points from Chris Boswell. 5 straight wins for that team.
Second time.
For the first time since 2020.
That is insane, man.
Two games with nothing but football.
That is crazy.
That team is scary for like all of the gritty coaching reasons. Like not just because, oh man,
we gonna play in the mud.
In the mud.
And they do.
Like they made it, so I don't remember who it was. Someone made a note of the fact that George Pickens was wearing all black cleats, because that's
the
way
forces.
That's the way that they play. It's just all black Air Force energy in this one.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, and then some other things. Sunday Night Football, were you moved by this?
I thought it was a great
Chargers
game.
Bengals? Absolutely a great game.
I thought it was a great game. You know, big lead. They bite into it. Joe Burrow's playing his ass off. And then all of a sudden, you talk about well-coached. This is not your big brother's Chargers, man. These are not your big brother's Chargers. They are getting it done, and
they did try a Charger though. They let the Bengals get three straight touchdowns.
I thought they was playing the Jags for a minute in that playoff game,
but
the way they
didn't.
Blew that lead.
There's a big difference. I mean, they
also got the benefit of some missed field goals. Hey man, I need to go back and do the numbers on this.
It was a lot of easy field goals.
What happened to all the kickers? Hey, Kaimi.
Yeah.
Don't be out here with your kinfolk, right? Don't be out here with the rest of the kickers. You knock your field goals.
Let's start off tonight as a new week.
Yes. It's a different week. That was the weekend. This is the week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't do that, because kickers were missing all of the field goals this weekend.
Where do the Texans? Well, maybe we can get into this later, but what's the pecking order now in the AFC with the Texans? Maybe after tomorrow, after tonight.
Yeah, and that's absolutely a good point. And I don't know that the Cowboys should be something that changed the way you view them. Mm-hmm. But if they handle up and do what I'm calling for them to do, mm-hmm. Something that I have started referring to as a Detroit Lioning of the Dallas Cowboys, where you just go and you put it on them for four quarters and you put up something like 50 points. It doesn't have to be 50, but you get what I'm talking about. If you do that, I will feel a lot more comfortable that the new offensive line situation gives you an opportunity to put up points where you're getting past the mental hurdles that are the second quarter, second half, and now I can maybe take you more seriously in the pecking order of these teams. But it looks like, man, the top of the AFC is tough.
Yeah.
If not like perfect, right? Every one of these teams you could point to and you go, oh man, there's weakness, but that's the nature of football and the parity that is engendered. But man, you look at all these teams and you go, wouldn't love to see them. Like, no. I don't love that matchup.
Steelers,
sometimes.
And Chargers.
And it's saying, like, none of these teams are, like, playing sexy. It's like a defensive type of teams. Like,
when the Ravens aren't playing against the Steelers, they be throwing up all over the field this year.
But they're saying, like, the Chiefs are pretty much a defensive team, which mm-hmm. is wild to say. The Steelers are a defensive team. They winning based off of their kicker.
Yeah.
So it's saying, like, none of these teams are really sexy, but you don't want to see them in the playoffs. It kind of scare you a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And definitely not the best of the weekend was Tyson Paul. That fight that ultimately garnered 60 million households supposedly watched, quote unquote, this fight, but it peaked at 65 million. Mm-hmm. It was incredible that so many people were trying to tap in, and it was also incredible that Netflix was unable to handle all of this.
Yeah. Man,
6 million was on Antonio Brown's watching it.
I enjoyed it. The main event, or the card? I'll get to the confession. It's one of my confessions, but let me just give you a little bit of a tease for 12:20 here. I enjoyed the moment, the spectacle. It wasn't. Did you expect a great fight?
But there wasn't spectacle. That's the problem.
It was absolutely a spectacle. The crowd was just cheering for Tyson like crazy.
Nah, man.
Look, we'll get into it at 12:20, but I enjoyed it. Other than having to go back and reset my Netflix every 30 seconds or whatever it was, that was ridiculous.
Well, a couple of things. The Serrano-Taylor fight, that was the co-main.
Now that was a fight.
That was the real fight. The ladies where Serrano's eyelid was hanging open because of the crazy cut that was there.
Cut me, Mick.
Man, that was the thing. Like, first, stars of the whole card. Serrano's cut man that somehow kept that thing from bleeding all over her face all the way through that fight. And then also those two women just throwing punches and eating them. Like, why? Who needs defense when you could just throw a whole bunch of punches?
They had a round where they threw 200 punches.
That's
man.
Correct.
Hey.
Which would seem like it was more than
that's how it should be.
More than Tyson Paul in its entirety.
Yeah.
And then one step to let you go before we move to the question of the day. There were 9 arrests at AT&T Stadium for this one.
That actually seems kind of low.
I can give you the breakdown. 4 of those arrests were for public intoxication.
Okay.
One was for illegal gambling.
Oh, wow.
Interesting, right?
Yeah. How did you get caught doing that?
I don't know. Were you trying to solicit
hey, cop,
takes?
I'm on the app right now.
Raise your hand. All right, who's got Tyson?
Yeah,
who's
exactly.
Paul?
Right, like he was yelling it out like he was at the garden or something.
I'm a bookie.
One arrest for solicitation of prostitution. Where did you think? He thought he was in Vegas or something, I guess. Yeah. One arrest for harassment of a public servant, which means you was probably fighting a cop.
You're talking the yellow windbreaker guy.
Like, one arrest for criminal trespass, which you was trying to, they were trying
to get
in
the locker room.
Trying to sneak in somewhere.
Probably.
And then one arrest for resisting arrest. So
shout out to
the people at a fight night, because it's not a fight night if somebody ain't fighting in the stands.
Yeah. Hopefully we keep it clean tonight.
We don't need to see no fights tonight, man.
Good luck with that.
They might get mad, especially if you Detroit Lions.
I don't want to see nothing in the stands.
I don't either.
Okay. Shade your eyes.
But if it's necessary, to fight, the one thing I will say is please win, Texans fan.
Yeah.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into our question of the day. Why make it difficult? What do you dislike most about the city of Dallas? 713-572-4610. Or I guess the general area. We don't want to leave out Fort Worth and all them other people that we can hate. 713-572-4610. Let us know. We'll do it next.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.